said that if one remembers the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, that even very difficult things become easy. And whenever we forget the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even very easy things become difficult. So on this most holy day of the year, we have to really, really pray to Lord Chaitanya to be blessed by his mercy, to be empowered by him. We talk a lot about empowered. I was remembering one lecture by Srila Prabhupada where he says very strongly, he says, everyone is talking, preach, 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 but they do not know you must be empowered to preach. It's very strong, very strong. But Radhana Swami was speaking so many subtle points this morning about what it means to be empowered, actually. To have no other motive than to please the beloved. This is what it means to be empowered to preach, because then Krishna is just sitting in the heart of such a devotee, waiting to fulfill their desires. But they have no other motives, no adulteration of other motives. Just like we see in this wonderful place, you hear the story of how Prabhupada was standing on the steps of the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, pointing in this direction. So Radhana Swami, he was talking about how Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya was giving the credit to Gopinathacharya. Gopinathacharya was giving the credit to Lord Chaitanya. So Radhana Swami was also saying that so Krishna had to fulfill Prabhupada's desire. But so the devotees are always giving the credit somewhere else. But when someone is such a great devotee, then Krishna is simply seeing how to fulfill the desires of such a devotee. And then all of the, the external environment begins to act in such a miraculous way. Providence, there's a quote from Goethe, German philosopher, where he says that when someone has no other desire, then providence also acts. So we can see this, to have this unalloyed, unadulterated desire to please the beloved. This is, if we desire to become empowered to preach the mission of Lord Chaitanya, this is what it means, simply to desire to please the beloved Lord. There's a very beautiful verse that's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's called the mercy verse. It's sort of referred to by devotees as the mercy verse. It's spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's personal associate, who actually, talking about empowerment, his notes that Lord Chaitanya put Raghunath Das Goswami under his care. So Lord Chaitanya called Raghunath Das Goswami Swarup's Raghu. So Swarup Damodar was the guru of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he memorized the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And later, after the disappearance of his beloved guru and Lord Chaitanya and so many great devotees, Rupa and Sanatan, he also wanted to jump from the Govardhan Hill and commit suicide. But Sanatana Goswami, having been chastised for that very idea, he also wanted to, when he was covered in sores, he wanted to commit suicide because Lord Chaitanya kept embracing him, right? So he'd been personally chastised by Lord Chaitanya. You think this body belongs to you, but you have already given this body to me in my service. So Sanatana Goswami instructed him, don't do this. And so he lived for many, many years. He had a very long life living at Radhakund, and he would speak for 4 hours every day from the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami, speaking the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And one of the people sitting in this daily Bhagavatam class was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And so the great, most authoritative work that we study first and foremost is taken from the ardent hearing of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, hearing from Rupa Ra, hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami, who heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was serving Lord Chaitanya. So beautiful succession of augmenting mercy coming down. There's a line by Shakespeare where he says that the quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth as the gentle rain from heaven. Very beautiful. So this is the quality. It's not that we can storm the gates of heaven, demand it, scream, cry, but it has to be, as Maharaj was saying, sincerity, to be serious and with no ulterior motive. And then wanting with such a devotee who has simply the desire to please the beloved Lord can become empowered. So this mercy verse is very beautiful. Any of you know this verse that I'm referring to? Helo dunita kedaya vishadaya pranmilat amodaya sasvach chantim. Not remembering it. Sometimes when I have a microphone in front of me, I can't remember Sanskrit. But anyway, it's the verse says that it's a prayer to Lord Chaitanya, and the verse has the word mercy in it so many, many times. It's in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so it says, O ocean of mercy, O Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy that destroys all material lamentation. By your mercy, everything is made pure and blissful, and it covers all gross material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among various scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy always increases devotional service, which is full of joy. Real devotional service is full of joy. You are always glorifying the conjugal love of God. May pure devotional service be awakened in my heart by your causeless mercy. Very, very beautiful verse. So Maharaj was talking about Gopal Bhatta Goswami and how he never again saw Lord Chaitanya. He went to Vrindavan on the order of the Lord and stayed there his whole life, serving the great devotees. And he very much wanted to worship the murti of the Lord. So we know this story of how the Radharaman deity appeared on the Nisringa Chaturdasi. He was crying and weeping that, oh, I so much want... He had his shalagrams, right? He went to Nepal and got these shalagrams and was worshiping them, but then he was crying on Nisringa Chaturdasi that, why am I am so fallen? I wish I had the beautiful form of Krishna to serve and to dress. And he was a pujari at heart. And so then the Radharaman deity appeared that morning, the following day. So at the Radharaman temple, they worship the appearance day of Radharaman on the day following Nisringa Chaturdasi. So such a great devotee, such a dearmost devotee of Lord Chaitanya from his very childhood. But it said that when he would chant japa, he was feeling such separation from Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya had told him, you go to Vrindavan, and you'll see me there. You'll see me again. So he had this Radharaman deity, who's none different, of course, from Lord Chaitanya. But then in his japa, when he would chant his japa, he would be seeing in his divine ecstasy, his deity would be turning into Lord Chaitanya. So sometimes he was seeing Krishna, and sometimes he was seeing Lord Chaitanya. So these things are very, very real and very profound, and I personally have no realization of any of them, but these are just stories that I have heard and repeating. But we should take it very, very seriously that Krishna, the Supreme Person, Tumi Sarveshvareshvara, that universes are created and destroyed on his whim. This little chubby cowherd boy with some sweet rice dripping through his hand and a little gunjamala and a peacock feather. So universes are created and destroyed by his will. And he comes as Lord Chaitanya. And he's not limited by space and time. So this beautiful story is where we hear of the lamentation of devotees like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, thinking, how I am so sinful. I miss the Navadvipa pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, how they appeared just after the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, how they were cracking their heads against stone, practically having missed the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. But we should know that this is their divine ecstasy. And in the separation, as Maharaj is describing, Krishna is revealing and communicating and blessing them through their hearts. So I don't know if any of you have also felt like this, you know, where was I during Prabhupada's pastimes? Or why wasn't I there? I was hiding out in, you know, why wasn't I there to carry Prabhupada's things, his suitcase up onto the Jaladuta? Where was I? I was hiding in my previous life, or I was hiding in Chicago, or why wasn't I there to help him? So this kind of very powerful intention, this kind of emotional ecstasy, this is what's very real. This is the fire that ignites the heart, that ignites real devotional service. So we should never think that these things aren't real. We have the story of the very poor Brahmin in the Nectar of Devotion who was listening in a Bhagavatam class about how you could serve Krishna even in his deity form, even by meditation. So he was so poor, he had nothing, he had no rice, he had no milk, he had no sugar, he had no pots, but he began to do this wonderful meditation, cooking sweet rice every day. He would bring the holy waters from all the holy rivers in golden pots and silver pots, and he would begin his cooking with the finest milk from the Sarabi cows of Goloka, and, you know, had such a beautiful meditation, right? Such a poor man, but in meditation he was doing such service. That's really, really accepted by the Lord, right? So then in his meditation he began to think, well, is the sweet rice cold enough to offer to the Lord? So he touched the side of the pot, but it wasn't, and he burnt his finger, and his red finger, the picture's there, right? His red finger up in the air, and Krishna was laughing in Vaikuntha. Right? Or Lord Vishnu was laughing in Vaikuntha, and Lakshmi Devi said, why are you laughing, my lord? And he said, my devotee has pleased me so much. So he sent his swan airplane to bring this devotee back to Vaikuntha. So we tend to think these are stories. They're very cute. I can tell them to my children. This is not real. What's really real is my problems, my financial problems, the recession, that's the problem. The business problems, I have to put food on the table, or the brahmacharis, there's so many dhotis hanging on that wall, and there's no room for mine, and I don't know where I'm going to put my dhoti, and whatever our problems are, you know, this is real. But these, what we read in the books, these are just stories. So this is our materialistic conditioning, that we think that all of these pastimes are just stories. Even Maharaj had this book, the volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? Is it Nisringananda Brahmachari or Nisringananda Brahmachari? Yeah, so on the cover of that volume of the Madhya Lila, there's a picture of a very saintly Brahmachari. Lord Chaitanya had started his tour of South India, and of course Mother Sachi is worried about his soft lotus feet, and all the devotees were thinking his soft lotus feet going on all these roads and abandoned places and jungles. And so this Nisringananda Brahmachari, in his meditation, such a beautiful picture, in his meditation he made a beautiful road for Lord Chaitanya to walk through South India, right? Covered with rose petals and the gardenia petals and the finest, softest jasmine, right? And then so many jewels making so many beautiful, and then trees and birds and flowers and fragrance and rivers, and just so that Lord Chaitanya would have a sublime Vrindavan atmosphere while he's walking through South India. So this is really the reality, and we can also bring this into our own devotional service if we desire that. We have to desire that more than anything, to become free from all other motives. I was thinking that maybe I should tell us some stories about the dolls. Since Maharaj, we initiated this doll museum today, I was thinking maybe I should tell some of the history of the doll making and Prabhupada's order to do that. Is that all right, or is it off topic? Yeah? Very, very appreciative audience. But so there was a very great artist, very brilliant and talented artist. His name is Bharad Raj. And he, about a month before he came to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada had written in a letter. He said, "Very soon I will be requiring the services of a very quick and expert artist to illustrate my Krishna book." So this is along the same lines of what we're talking, that Prabhupada standing on the steps of the Bharatiya Vidya Bhava and saying, "There should be a temple here." So then about 1 month later, this brilliantly talented artist joined the ISKCON Society, and Prabhupada engaged him in a painting for the Krishna book. And so he would do the composition, and then the painting would be passed to Jadarani, who filled in the composition, filled in more detail, and then it would be passed to Muralidhar Prabhu, who would do the fine detail. He had expertise in the finest detail. So this is very hard for an artist. Are there any artists in the audience? Anyone an artist? In India, everyone's an artist. But anyway, so it takes a lot of giving up of ego for an artist to do this. To my painting, my composition is going to be passed to someone else to put their touch on it, and then passed to someone else and put their touch on it, right? Very difficult for an artist ego. So that's the way the Krishna, so many of the paintings were painted for the Krishna book. So then there was a lot of talk about preaching and preaching, and the momentum for preaching began to increase. So then at one point, Prabhupada was in New York where these artists were preaching. First they were in Boston, and then they went to New York with the Bhaktivedanta printing press. And so this devotee, Bharad Raj, he went to Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, I want to preach." And Prabhupada was very nonchalant. And he said, "The work you are doing, that is preaching. Preaching," he said, "preaching means to describe Krishna's activities." So that was very beautiful. So he said, "You're preaching. Preaching means to describe Krishna's activities." So then, but a little later, then a little bit after that, Prabhupada gave this devotee and several other artists the order to go to Mayapur, because Prabhupada was very keen that one more desire of his Guru Maharaj should be fulfilled, that these theistic exhibitions should be made for communicating the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in Mayapur, you can imagine there are many illiterate people, people who can't read, don't read books. And so this idea of these dioramas explaining the philosophy and the leelas of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya is very, very powerful. So Prabhupada wanted this, and he had been to London, and he saw the lines wrapping around the block of Madame Tussauds wax museum. So he thought, even in the Western world, people like this very much. So he wanted preaching done through these dioramas. So he sent this group of artists. I was one of them. And he sent, I'll go back a little bit. Okay. So I was married to Bharad Raj, and I was also painting in Boston and then in New York. And Prabhupada came one time, and he looked at my painting, and he looked at Bharad Raj's painting, and he said, "The husband is better." So then, to just continue the thread of this story, I'll maybe go back a little bit. So then, after we went to Mayapur, and this man Milan was engaged as our teacher. And I was telling Maharaj yesterday or the day before that Milan, I don't know if Milan is here today, but Milan used to wait until all the devotees were gone, and then he used to paint the eyes of the dolls so no one could see his secret technique. So he would wait. But anyway, so then we made this doll exhibition, and Prabhupada gave the instruction, make and break. Just make them and break them. You make them and then you smash them, and then you keep doing that, and then you will become expert. Make and break. So I believe it was the second Mayapur festival, we made a diorama exhibition. And Bhardwaj had done a diorama of the Sadbhuj, the six-armed form of Lord Chaitanya Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Ram, right? And I had done a diorama of Radha and Krishna. And something about that medium that you could just keep working it. And so I had worked a lot on this Radha and Krishna. And so anyway, so then Prabhupada came, and this is something like 4 years after the first part of the story where he said the husband is better, right? So this is maybe 4 years later. He looked at the dolls, he looked at the Radha Krishna that I'd done, he looked at the Sadbhuj that Bhardwaj had done, and the wife is better. It was so funny. He just picked up the thread from years ago. That was funny. There are several stories of Prabhupada doing that. So let me see. So, so make and break. We were making these dolls in Prabhupada's house, which is at the front of the property in Mayapur, what had been a thatched roof house. And we would sit there all day and make these dolls. And so then we went to Vrindavan to make some gopi dolls that would be put on the altar along with Radha Sham when the temple was supposed to open. The temple wasn't opened yet. And so we were working on these dolls there, the Astasakis. And the temple was supposed to open. Maybe you all know this story. The temple was supposed to open, and the devotees who were in charge at the time, maybe fearing Prabhupada's wrath, they were very encouraging. Yes, the temple, they were writing to Prabhupada wherever he was in the world. Yes, the temple will open, it will open. But it didn't open. And Prabhupada had invited the chief minister of Uttar Pradesh. So it was very embarrassing to Prabhupada that this temple was a fiasco. He considered it a fiasco. That, you know, when he came to see the completed temple, it was mostly a hole in the ground of construction. So he was furious. Prabhupada was furious. And Prabhupada's could be very much in the mood of Nisringadeva. I'm sure Bhurajan Prabhu can tell some stories of Prabhupada in that mood. So Prabhupada became furious, and then he became deathly ill. He became so ill, and we didn't know if he would be leaving us at that time. And devotees all over the world were chanting the Nisringadeva prayers for Prabhupada, and no one knew from one day to the next whether he would survive. And then the day came when the chief minister he had been invited, so he was coming. And the chief minister, you know, just like Krishna comes with his entourage, right? The chief minister doesn't come by himself, right? He comes with his entourage. So all of the police vehicles and whatever, all the ministers and this and that. And Prabhupada was really deathly ill, lying on his back. He hadn't been out. He wasn't speaking. He wasn't, you know, he was just very, very ill. So the most amazing, were you in Vrindavan, Bhurajan Prabhu, at that time? No? So Prabhupada, like a mystic yogi, he got up from his sick bed, which astounded everyone there because he hadn't moved in days. He hadn't spoken, he hadn't moved, he wasn't eating. And Prabhupada got up from his bed like a mystic yogi and went and into the temple room. It's in Yadubara Prabhu's film, I believe. And and he hosted the chief minister, was very cordial to him, spoke with him, was gracious to him, and then when the minister and his entourage left, Prabhupada again collapsed in his sickbed. Most amazing, amazing thing. So Prabhupada wasn't walking, and then after some time he began to get better. But everyone was really, really afraid to go near him. He was calling Jamuna to cook for him, but she was afraid to come. Actually, this is a story that I wonder if I should tell it. I'll tell it, but please forgive me. This is a story that belongs to Jamuna Devi, but it's very beautiful, so I'll tell it. I hope she'll forgive me. So Prabhupada was calling her and wanted her to cook for him, but he was so fierce. He was in the mood of Nisringadev roaring after killing Hiranyakashipu. And so she just, it was a very, very difficult time for everyone in Vrindavan, especially Jamuna, and especially anyone who had any responsibility. I didn't have any responsibility, so. But so Prabhupada was calling for her, and she wasn't coming, and then finally she came, and she was in his room. Please, Jamuna Devi, forgive me for telling this story. So Prabhupada said, he began to speak about himself as though he was saying, we all know that the guru is in the Balaram Tattva, right? Balaram is the original guru, right? So we worship the guru who is in the Tattva of Lord Balaram. Balaram has his plow, and he strikes the earth to till the earth so that the seed of bhakti can be planted. So Prabhupada started talking about himself as though he were Lord Balaram, and he said, Jamuna does not want to come. But Balaram, he is very strong. He can drag Jamuna. It was really heavy. And, you know, mostly devotees didn't know what he was talking about. But he said, he can drag the whole city of Hastinapur if he wants. He can drag Jamuna. So that was very, very beautiful story. So this was Prabhupada's mood at that time. If you saw Prabhupada, he began to sit outside his house because his house is very hot in the summer. So he began to sit outside his house in a chair, and everyone would avoid him. If you saw Prabhupada there, you would go around the other way, you know? It was just like he was in that mood of, just, you know? And so then he began to go out for his walk, but he couldn't walk. And so he said, today we will take our walk sitting down. So they would go to a place and sit down in a clearing in the forest, and Prabhupada would sit there in the air, in the fresh air, and then come back. So one such day, when Prabhupada went out for his walk, sitting down, we put these gopi deities. They weren't deities, but they were dolls. They were about this big, and they're 8 astasakis, and we set them up in Prabhupada's room while he was out to surprise him for when he would come back. And so, and Prabhupada's sister was there at that time, Pishima, and she was like a big marshmallow. She was all dressed in white, and she was very plump, and she was just like a big soft marshmallow. And so, so then Prabhupada came back and saw these gopis, and he was so happy, and he was just like a little boy. It completely shifted his mood. He became like just like a little child. And he was just going from one room in his house to the next, going to his different secretaries and said, Did you see the dolls? Did you see the dolls that Bharadrash and Rukmini made? Did you see them? Did you see them? And he was so happy. And his sister was quoting a verse that I've never actually found, but it started with Gopika Ballabha, Radhika Ramana. And she was just weeping and weeping and chanting this verse, Gopika Ballabha, Radhika Ramana. And the two of them were just like two little children. And it was so beautiful. And so then he said, what he really wanted was for us to go to London, because of this Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. He wanted to make something better than Madame Tussauds Wax Museum that the people in London would circle the block to see. That's what he really wanted. But that didn't happen. So when he was telling us to go, he said, actually, Bhardwaj Prabhu really wanted to go to Los Angeles. Quite a bit of facility was being offered in Los Angeles. And having come from Europe originally himself, he knew how austere Europe could be. And so he wanted to go to Los Angeles. And so when Prabhupada sent us, he said, now you have become expert, and now you can go. And he went like this. He said, you may go to London or wherever you may go. And so that then we went to Los Angeles and started the, but they have a very nice museum there, theistic exhibition that's has a, it's coordinated with computer that's very nice. And then there was another one done in Detroit. So a few things about the dolls. And thank you very much. I think I'll stop there, but this, please relish Prabhupada's pastimes in the new diorama exhibit downstairs. And please pray to become free from all other motives except to please the beloved, and in this way become empowered to serve the great mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.